It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones want foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Benesh, on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that, some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in, Thursday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio, just two more sleeps, and college football is here. Whether you're a Hawkeye, a Cyclone, or a Panther, just two more sleeps. And we got college football tonight on The Fan. Yes, the 2023 college football season, technically speaking, begins in about 89 minutes. Right here on The Fan, as we will have 14th-ranked Utah playing host to Florida coming up with pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 of that game. And that's an intriguing one, not just because it's just a good on-paper non-conference matchup between a top-shelf Pac-12 team and, of course, Florida, perennial SEC power. But Utah's quarterback, Cam Rising, still not all the way back from an ACL injury he sustained late last season. So I think a game that, you know, technically would have had Utah as a presumptive favorite now kind of gets muddied up a little bit, to say the least. So could be in for a humdinger tonight in Utah as the Utes will take on the Gators, and you'll be able to hear it right here on The Fan, again, pregame at 6:30. So, in celebration of the college football season beginning in earnest with week one action starting tonight, we will be talking a lot of college football on the program. Also, a programming note, due to a Cubs-Reds doubleheader tomorrow, no show for me tomorrow, unfortunately. So, essentially what I've done is take what we would normally do on a football Friday, and we're making it a football Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Details in just a while. First things first, however you are tuned in, 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBert. On Facebook, type in 1650TheFan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set on the Zuck machine with more local and statewide sports content in your feed. And bookmark that website, 1650thefan.com. That's where all that local and statewide sports content goes first. It's where you can get the podcast of this show, other audio on demand. The Coach's Huddle podcast is up from last night's show, the Week 2 edition, in case you missed that. So bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. If you want to contribute to the show, you can tweet at me. You can send us a message on Facebook. You can go old school and dial us up, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you can email the show, email me, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. With any questions or comments you might have. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, don't be shy. Fire away. All right, coming up, we'll get to area sports news and scores for your Thursday here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VEASAN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Thursday, looking into tomorrow and Saturday. It is going to heat up, but I did hear that the dew point's not going to be crazy, so the humidity is not going to be outrageous, so that's good news. We know that. I'll take it. I mean, I'd rather have genuine football weather, you know, a little less mercury in the thermometer, but beggars can't be choosers. So if you're telling me that it's going to be warm but less humid, I can deal. We'll see how that affects the games this weekend, though. It very well could end up being a factor in testing some team's depth early on. After we get Megan Mulford's forecast in that first time out, we'll come back in the second segment and be joined by my colleague Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Rob does an outstanding job covering Iowa State football for the Gazette, and we're going to break it down. We're just going to empty our notebooks and try to give you the best insight and analysis of this rivalry game that the last two matchups, albeit both in Iowa State's favor, have been decided by a combined 9 points. UNI's last win at Iowa State was in 2016. Mark Farley, 3-9 all time in his now 23 years at UNI against the Cyclones. So we'll see. And I've got a prediction that I'm going to make, and I think for those who listen to the show frequently, you know what that prediction's going to be. Although I've got a total here. I've got an actual score. I've made the prediction, but I haven't put a score out there. And I've got a score ready today, and I hope Rob does as well, because we're both tasked with doing so in our game previews that go in the Gazette. So look forward to that conversation coming up in the next segment of today's show, breaking down Iowa State and UNI with Rob Gray of the Gazette. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. Come back on the other side in the third segment. And like I said, we just took Football Friday and moved it to Thursday because of tomorrow's Cubs doubleheader. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast is going to join us. We'll break down. We'll chit-chat about Iowa-Utah State, Iowa State-UNI. Logan's going to give us other games to watch that do not involve the Hawkeyes, Panthers, or Cyclones in Week 1 and reasons why you should watch those games. We'll make our picks of the weekend. Yes, picks of the weekend are back. Celebrate, everybody, for whatever it's worth. Maybe you should just fade me, but I do like this trio of picks that I have laid out. I have some degenerate friends that are pretty good at this. I think that's a good thing. We'll make picks of the weekend. And then also Logan's going to bring us his preseason Heisman top five. So just a lot of really good college football talk to be had today on the show. So look forward to it. After we're done with Logan, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Thursday, final time for the week, and wrap up the show. All right, so let's go ahead and dive right in. Area sports news and scores. The Waterloo West boys golf team was involved in a Mississippi Valley Conference quadrangular yesterday. Dubuque Hempstead hosted the meet at Meadows Golf Club in Dubuque. Iowa City Liberty finished first with a team score of 153. The Wahawks were the runner-up with a 167. Week two of the high school football season gets underway tonight for a handful of teams across the state, including one in the metro, as Waterloo Christian plays at West Central in an 8-player game. Both schools entered tonight's game looking for their first win of the season. Kickoff is at 7. Meanwhile, tonight in other metro sports, in volleyball, Class 5A 5th-ranked Cedar Falls and Waterloo West are competing in a quadrangular at Marion. Waterloo Columbus competing in a quadrangular at Marshalltown. In metro boys golf, Cedar Falls hosting a Mississippi Valley Conference quadrangular at Pheasant Ridge, and Waterloo East is hosting an Iowa Alliance Conference triangular at Gates Park. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has released the Class 4A Boys Golf District sites. The four state qualifying meets will be held October 2nd. Cedar Falls will host one of those districts at Pheasant Ridge. The 4A Boys State Golf Tournament is set for October 6th and 7th at Otter Creek in Ankeny. Tomorrow night in Metro High School football, it's a Class 5A top 10 matchup at the Unidome as 8th-ranked Cedar Falls hosts 3rd-ranked Johnston for the Tigers' home opener. Tigers are looking to bounce back after a 2017 loss at Cedar Rapids Prairie last week. Running back Drake Galehouse, who missed last week's game, is a game-time decision. If you listen to Coach Brad Rimmert last night during the coach's huddle, you can, of course, hear this game on our companion station, Cruisin' KCFI. Pregame show begins around 6:45 with Dave Finnegan on the call. Kickoff at 7:30. In other games in the Metro tomorrow night, Waterloo West will play at Dubuque Hempstead. Waterloo East plays host to Des Moines North. And in Class 1A, 7th-ranked Waterloo Columbus Catholic is at home against Durant. The 125th season of UNI football will kick off on Saturday as the Panthers make the short trip to Ames to take on rival Iowa State at Jack Trice Stadium. UNI looking for its first win against the Clones since 2016. Panthers are ranked 20th in the American Football Coaches Association FCS preseason poll. UNI returned 17 starters from last year's team that finished 6-5, just outside of making the 2014 FCS playoff field. Panthers return 8 All-Missouri Valley Conference performers. Kickoff at 1. If you want the Cyclone call, you can get it, of course, right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 The Fan, pregame beginning at 11 on Saturday morning. If you're looking for the Panther call, that's right here in the same building, just down the hallway, 93.5 The Mix, your home for UNI football and men's basketball. And pregame coverage on The Mix begins at noon on Saturday. On his weekly radio show, Iowa Hawkeyes head coach Kirk Ferentz said yesterday that he's expecting quarterback Cade McNamara to play on Saturday. Ferentz said, quote, "We'll take it right up to game time, but we're expecting him to go," end quote. McNamara and Ferentz were a lot less clear about Cade's status at media availability on Tuesday. McNamara told reporters it was the coach's decision. Ferentz said Tuesday he was medically cleared to play, but that it was still day-to-day. How much the Michigan transfer plays and how healthy he is still remains a question mark for what fans hope is an improved Iowa offense that was statistically one of the worst in the country last year. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this day, looking into tomorrow and Saturday. We'll come back on the other side and dig in on the Panthers and Cyclones. My colleague Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joins us next to do just that. You're listening to a Thursday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Monsi Bolaños.
The Angels may have beat the Phillies, but it was still a big day for Bryce Harper.
7-6 in the bottom of the eighth. First pitch to Harper. He launches one high in the air, deep right field. Renfroe back, looking up, and it's gone! Number 300 is a go-ahead two-run home run by Harper in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's one amazing swing after another this month for the Phillies, and Harper has put the Phillies up 8-7 with his 300th career home run.
Phillies radio network on the call, but it was the Angels who ended up beating the Phillies 10-8. Right now, the Reds are beating the Giants 2-1, top of the eighth inning. In the NFL, any contract negotiations between the Dolphins and quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and defensive tackle Christian Wilkins will be tabled until after the 2023 season.
Put the Cedar Valley Sports leader in your pocket. Download the 1650 The Fan app.
As school begins, the Cedar Falls School District would like to thank grandparents, friends, and extended families for all you do to support their mission. Your sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, and grandchildren continue to inspire the community by their upbeat, resilient responses to the changes that have come their way. The Cedar Falls School's mission of excellence is embodied in their desire for continuous improvement and their goals to maximize the abilities of all students in a supportive, collaborative environment. Educating your youth is an honor and a task they take very seriously. In a time wrought with change and uncertainty, what will remain constant is the Cedar Falls School's dedication to our youth. Our future is in their hands. Always remember, their first priority is the safety of students, staff, teachers, administrators, and the community at large. Cedar Falls students, have a great year. Go Tigers!
Cedar Falls Schools. Every student, every day.
MidIowa Electric Motors and Equipment has over 20,000 square foot of warehouse inventory, making it the largest motor warehouse in North Iowa, Southern Minnesota, and now in Central Iowa. I'm Ryan Lehner. We are your leading source of replacement motors with more than 2,500 motors in stock. We also carry a variety of pulleys, capacitors, and belts. MidIowa's repair shops in Mason City and now in Kesley, Iowa, are capable to rebuild or replace your existing motors. Visit us online at MidIowa.com and on location at 16455 Lark Avenue, southeast of Mason City, and now in downtown Kesley, Iowa.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. G.bank/VSiN.
Former Michigan quarterback Cade McNamara, who went 13-3 as the starter for the Wolverines, will get the start. The 25th-ranked Iowa hosts Utah State at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. Hawkeyes are the 25-point favorite, 43.5 the total. Baseball coming up tomorrow. It's the Cubs on the road at Cincinnati to open up a weekend series. It'll be a doubleheader on Friday. In Game 1, the Cubs play for their third straight win with Jordan Wicks on the mound, minus 118, against Graham Ashcraft, minus 102, 10 under the total. And the Cardinals tomorrow, a $1.42 home favorite against the Pirates. Mike Sennett, 1650, The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Clear skies tonight with lows around 53. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow. Highs level off around 87. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 61. Dry with temperatures well above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the mid-90s to the upper 90s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 80.
Hi, this is Dan Patrick, and you're listening to Cole & Company with Cole Bear weekday afternoons from 5 till 6 right here on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. No show tomorrow due to the Cubs doubleheader, so it's a Football Thursday edition of the program today. We'll have Iowa State football's season opener right here Saturday on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 The Fan. Pre-game coverage at 11 Saturday morning, kickoff at 1, and my colleague Rob Gray, who does an outstanding job covering Iowa State football for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins us now. Rob, we're almost there. We're done talking, almost done talking about it, and we're about to watch it. How's that strike you?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing we've gotten to this point. The off season felt like it lasted forever, especially with the state's gambling investigation and going on and kind of hanging over both Iowa and Iowa State for quite a while. But it's time to play the games, and Iowa State's got a bunch of unknowns to throw out there, and I'm sure you and I have some few unknowns too, as well as a great known quantity of quarterbacks.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, there's so many different places we could begin this discussion, this breakdown, whatever you want to call it, Rob. So just headed into this game, you know, a couple sleeps away, if you will, from heading into Jack Trice Stadium to see this play out. What's on your mind? You know, what are you thinking as it relates to Iowa State entering this game, you know, like less than 48 hours to go?
Yeah, I guess what I'm interested to see is, how good are the quarterbacks? Rocco Beck wasn't a consensus four-star, but he was a four-star by certainly some of the major recruiting sites. And J.J. Cole, consensus four-star, top 10 by a couple. Both apparently even through fall camp. Very different body types. Rocco kind of built a little bit like Brock Purdy, and J.J. now 6'7", 250 as a true freshman.
Wow. Coach
Campbell said they'll both play, and I fully expect them to do so. The really intriguing part of it to me is that might last for a while if they both play reasonably well, in part because they can give you so many different things. Cole's cannon of an arm, Beck a little bit more escapability, a little bit more experience thus far as a redshirt freshman versus an early enrollee true freshman. So if the Cyclones struggle there and the offensive line, as they really did pretty much all season long last year, granted there were some key injuries, this game is up for grabs. So those are the things I'm paying attention to the most. The defense, I think, will make it hard for DoD to put points on the board.
Yeah.
They lost a lot, but they had a lot of depth last year. They feel good about that group. But can the offense do anything? And last year, the answer to that usually was no.
Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company, breaking down Iowa State UNI, set for a 1 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Rob, a couple different radio shows I've gone on as this quote-unquote game week has transpired. I've made a point to bring up John Haycock and that Iowa State defense. Obviously, Will McDonald is a New York Jet now. Isaiah Lee is off the team because of the fallout of the gambling investigation. So, sure, yeah, there's questions perhaps on the defensive line, but Iowa State was number one in the Big 12 in four different defensive categories last season. Somehow they still only won one damn game in the Big 12, but I just think that's something that cannot go overlooked. You know, it's kind of like throw these records out. It's like a, what is it, unstoppable force meeting an immovable object for me when I think about Theo Day and coordinator Bodie Reeder in this UNI offense matching up against what just continues to be year after year during the Matt Campbell era, something you can set your watch to, and that's John Haycock's defense.
Yeah, I mean, the past six seasons, the Cyclones' defense has been a minimum of good and at times elite. Last year, I think it ranked fourth nationally in total defense. Even though it gave up 62 points, finally broke kind of this against TCU, although that wasn't all on the defense in the season finale, They still were 18th nationally in scoring defense and only gave up like 360 yards in that game, which is a whole other story we've talked about in the past. Just bizarre. So, yeah, that's a known quantity. And the back end is as good as it's ever been. I mean, TJ Tampa, Coach Haycock called Theo Day, quote, obviously an NFL guy. The same could be said for TJ Tampa, 6'2 corner senior, came back, had other options, chose to stay with Iowa State. Got Miles Purchase alongside. He's also a very good cornerback, not as big. Well, big in terms of putting on 25 pounds of muscle in the offseason, which is incredible for a 5'11 guy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But not as tall. And then you got Bo Freeler, rock-solid safety. You got Jeremiah Cooper, got a lot of experience before getting injured as a true freshman last year. You got Malik Verdone, who's 6'4", and has plenty of muscle and ability as well that hasn't been shown so much because of injury. So, I mean, the back end's great. You've got Gary Vaughn, kind of in a Ryan Vance type coming back, and then two redshirt freshmen and true freshmen slated to start at linebacker. So, inexperienced, some depth pieces having to move up on the D-line. You know, at the first two levels of that offense, it's going to be very important that those guys are up to the task.
Rob, just to hammer down on this, because I think it's worth it, is it Bo Freeler who plays in that 3-3-5 defense that John Haycock employs? Is it Bo Freeler that's the safety at the top, you know, that middle safety?
Generally, yes. And they've moved the guys around in the past, and they're talking about a little bit more split safety this year. So I'm not sure what that looks like or as Coach Campbell as it looks like or feels like. But we might see a few wrinkles. Based on, I think, the talent they feel they've got in that secondary. But, again, they feel like they've got good talent. I'm sorry, a long-winded answer, but yes, that's both real.
And I think that, no, you don't have to apologize, because in digging in on this, I think that's kind of one of those really important games within the game for folks that I know out there are looking for something maybe a little bit more to sink their teeth into, kind of beyond just the normal kind of window dressing sort of talk to really analyze this. When I was talking to UNI offensive coordinator Bodie Reeder on UNI's media day, he had mentioned, man, if we can get that big middle safety to come down and have to play in the box a little bit, if we can run the ball well enough to do that, obviously, you know, that's when you feel much more comfortable in taking shots down the field. So among the things that I think are most important in this matchup, I think that's something to watch because, you know, otherwise it feels like you and I is going to have to run the ball and maybe nickel and dime their way down the field with Theo Day's right arm. And I just know Theo's going to want to cut one loose. And if you're cutting one loose and it's a soft box, who knows what could happen? Very well, it could end up in a takeaway.
Yeah, and Iowa State is definitely stressing more takeaways. They have, that's the one area when the defense is as good as it's been, generally hasn't forced as many takeaways. Now, or you wonder if that's part of the way they play, right? They don't take a ton of risks. They make the opponent make a mistake.
Yeah.
Thus, score to drive or prevent points. Not always trying to jump routes. I mean, Anthony Johnson was a corner there forever. Didn't get his first interception until he was a fifth-year senior safety. But still was one of the best cornerbacks in the Big 12. So that's I agree completely. And I really question whether you and I is going to be able to get the run going. One guy to watch for Iowa State is the nose guard, Dom Orange.
Okay.
He came in as a true freshman, played enough. They liked him enough that they didn't redshirt him. Flashed really nicely at times, but was 6'4", 250. Now he's down to 335. He's another guy with pro potential there. And I think the ends, I mean, they call Joey Peterson a Leo because they're going to list four offensive linemen, even though they frequently only have three on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Legacy kid, more athletic, they say, than his older brother, Zach, who did really well, stepped in for Jaquan Bailey 1 year when Jaquan Bailey, who was the all-time sack leader at Iowa State until Will McDonald shattered that record, went in for him and did well, didn't skip a beat. So they've got options there. Tyler O'Neidem on the other side, and J.R. Singleton was going to push Isaiah Lee either way, and they were probably going to see a lot of split snaps if not Singleton taking that job. So they feel good about being able to stop the run. They've generally been good at it, and I wonder what it's inexperienced at running back and somewhat on the offensive line for you and I, if they'll be able to accomplish the goal that I agree they need to do to be able to make the Tigers more vulnerable to the deeper ball and intermediate routes.
And I think that that you're getting to the next thing that when I was thinking about our conversation today and wanting to really kind of sink our teeth into this, which is, okay, we talked about, you know, that back eight or that safety defensive back group and kind of the tug and pull against Theo Day, but, you know, there's questions for both of these teams in the trenches, Rob, like you began to point out there. And when you talk about, a player to watch, I think for you and I, it'd be the more unknown quantity in their transfer running back out of UTSA, Ty Edwards, a guy who's listed at 6'4", 240 pounds, and was an absolute star at Butler Community College at the JUCO level. Is this a guy that has the talent to show up in a game like this? And, you know, in concert with that, the interior of UNI's offensive line, are they going to be able to make life doable for him in this game? So it seems like perhaps due to the dynamics that exist, Rob, as tried and true and traditional as it is, despite the fact the game is more spread out and wide open as ever, that, you know, whoever establishes the run very well could be the team who ends up winning this game as plain of a result as that may be. And what I'm hoping is a intricate discussion that we're having here. That's kind of where this all seems to be leading.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, you look at Iowa State, by far the least productive rushing game in the Big 12 last season, pretty down the list nationally too, I think 108 yards a game. You know, really struggled when Jirell Brock got hurt, and then Cartavius Norton got hurt as well, and that bothered them all year. Now, Jirell Brock, of course, is just like starting quarterback Hunter Deckers, was caught up in the gambling probe, so they're not around. That means Norton, that means Eli Sanders, who got action last year, but really just still learning how to play the position at this level or front and center. But they got three other guys, true freshman Abu Sama Carson Hansen,
mm-hmm.
and then a transfer from Stanford, A.J. Harris, who they really like. So they feel good there. But the question mark, again, is their offensive line, where, of course, interestingly for this game, former UNI offensive line coach and assistant offensive coordinator, I believe, Ryan Clanton, was able to get his hands on these guys, and they think they're developing better than they were under the previous offensive line coach. So, you know, a lot of experience up front from the Cyclones, but it hasn't been high-performing experience. Can Clanton have them take the next step so these talented backs, however many we see on Saturday, can actually take advantage of what I think looks on paper to be a pretty good UNI defensive line when you look at who comes back and the addition of the transfers?
And Rob, a couple more minutes here with Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, Iowa State football beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at Rob W. Gray. Rob, just winding down a little bit here on the conversation, one thing that Mark Farley pointed out this week that I thought made a lot of sense is, given the turnover on Iowa State's staff, given the dynamics at play with the quarterback and running back position with Iowa State, there's as much unfamiliarity as ever between these two programs, albeit you point out, Clanton, there's familiarity, but, you know, he's taking his knowledge someplace new. Who's to say how that kind of melds itself in with what Coach Campbell and everybody's trying to get done over there? But basically, long story short, Coach Farley said the ability to make adjustments, and not just at halftime, but, you know, series to series, and make those adjustments on the fly, beyond personnel, beyond execution, the things you can see on paper, he pointed out as that being a critical part of this game. And I think that is going to go for both teams here, just given all that's fluid.
Yeah, that's a great point by Coach Farley, and that's one of the reasons John Haycock's defenses have been so good. They've been as good at adjustments as anyone in the country. And,
yeah.
And some games, when they've actually struggled a little bit, it's taken until halftime to make the proper adjustments, and then, boom, it's a night and day shift. You're right, though. There's so many unknown players at dynamic, important position. No position more important than quarterback. And, you know, arguably running backs right there with wide receiver. We talked about tight ends where Iowa State lost their top touchdown catcher, but they've got an experienced guy, Nathan Dean, and a bunch of other guys they feel good about that they're going to cycle in and out like many other positions. It's going to be interesting. They're going to have to, with all these unknowns, that means you've got to be creative and on your toes as both head coaches and assistant coaches. So that'll be an interesting game within the game, as you alluded to as well.
All right, Rob, I filed my story for the UNI game preview side of things that will be in the Gazette. And that, of course, included a prediction that I know is your favorite part of probably your entire employment with the Gazette. So I'll just put mine out there. I had made the prediction on my show that UNI is as capable as ever of winning this game. So I think they'll win this game. I had UNI 27, Iowa State 21. And we're talking about a series where in the last two matchups, they've been decided by a combined 9 points. So 27-21, UNI, ball's in your court, Rob. What do you got?
Well, we sound like homers, Cole, because I've got the Cyclones winning. I want to say by about 10.
Okay.
I just don't think, as good as Theo Day is, I just don't think he's going to be able to pierce that secondary. And I think they're going to get enough pressure up front, especially circle the name, Dominique Orange. If he can wreak havoc in the interior and create a lot of opportunities for the guys on the edge, and then maybe blitzing linebackers and safeties here and there, they could really put his head on a swivel. And again, like you said, it's critical. If you and I get the ground game going, they absolutely can win the football game, especially if Iowa State can't get its ground game going, which is typically the case. But at this point, I've got no reason to distrust Iowa State's defense, and I think the defense holds strong enough and the offense does just enough. This is the Cyclones. Hang on, and it'll be a tight game, and maybe they put it away with a touchdown or a field goal late.
Maybe we should have filed identical game previews and just wrote, first one to 125 rushing yards wins.
Yeah, that might do it, or I might set it a tick higher than that, but that's a good starting point for sure.
Rob, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time on the show. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. Thanks so much.
Yeah, great to be with you, and look forward to seeing you as well, Cole.
All right, take care, Rob.
You too.
Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us on this Football Thursday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this next time out so we can keep talking football as quickly as possible. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports during the break, but Logan Blackman is going to join us on the other side. We'll just talk with Logan on what he's thinking in terms of Iowa-Utah State, Iowa State-UNI. He's going to give us some other games to watch in week one of college football. We'll make our picks of the weekend, and we'll get Logan's preseason Heisman top five. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. On a hot day, conditioning will be a factor for the Iowa defense against Utah State. Hawkeye defensive end Joe Evans says the Aggies want to snap the ball every 10 seconds.
Getting the play call and getting lined up correctly, that's a big challenge. And just being ready to go at, you know, conditioning level. And I think we'll be ready to go. We practice at a very, very high level. So just being able to have our conditioning down and being able to get set and get ready to go.
Drake opens Saturday at 17th-ranked North Dakota. The Bulldogs also take on FCS defending national champion South Dakota State. Offensive lineman Brendan Burton likes taking on the best teams in the country.
And I think the rest of the team does too. You know, we don't look at the entire non-con schedule right now. We're just looking for week one right away at North Dakota, and everybody's so fired up to get up there.
This is Radio Iowa.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom and when they come home.
I had just come home from serving over in Germany. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed for the rest of my life.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America, because they've kept their promise to never leave a fallen soldier behind. A roof over their heads, accessible homes, cars, jobs, benefits.
PVA has brought me back to life.
Show them their sacrifice hasn't been in vain. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
The National Cattle Congress Fair is happening September 20th through the 24th. It's fun for the whole family. There'll be food trucks, carnival rides, livestock exhibits, an expo hall, and more. Ride your motorcycle to the fair Thursday for bike night. And who could forget this year's fair concert series? The fair concert series features Not Quite Brothers on Thursday, free with gate admission. Country superstars Tracy Lawrence and Chris Cagle perform Friday. Everclear with the Alteras and the Pink Spiders on Saturday. And Christian artist Benjamin William Hastings on Sunday. Brought to you by Waterloo Warehousing, Bill Cowell Ford, and Bush Resource and Recovery. Make sure to purchase your concert tickets now. Buy your Super Pass for $30 and receive admission all 5 days of the fair. Purchase your Super Passes, fair tickets, and concert tickets by visiting NationalCattleCongress.com. Come celebrate 113 years of the National Cattle Congress Fair. September 20th through the 24th. It's everyone's fair.
Iowa Metal Recycling keeps our environment clean while providing fair and competitive pricing for your metal materials. Residential and industrial customers welcome, big or small. Locally owned Iowa Metal Recycling provides free commercial container service in the Cedar Valley. If you have metal materials, don't dispose. Recycle with Iowa Metal Recycling and get immediate payment. Across from City Hall on North Evans Road in Evansdale, Iowa Metal Recycling. Large enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Learn more at iowametalrecycling.com.
Save big money on your next project with 11% off everything at Menards. Protect your cargo with our selection of hitches, ratchet straps, and everything in between. We've got what you need to get your cargo there safely. The ToeSmart Tri-Ball Mount Trailer Hitch has three different hitch ball sizes and is just $24.99 after 11% rebate. Good through September 4th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
So, this date was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for dinner.
For sure. For sure. Not really sure why I'm playing with my keys. I literally took an Uber here.
Oh, me too.
Well,
can I ride you around?
Start the night out right, because you can't drive drunk if you don't drive there. Decide to ride. This message is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber. Copyright 2022, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader 1650, The Fan.
Welcome back. Hey, Cooper's Tap Room at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls is now open. As soon as you step foot inside, you'll see that Cooper's Tap Room is not your usual College Hill bar. It offers a wide array of ice-cold tap beers, signature and seasonal drinks, a delectable, unique menu, and the environment you desire with TVs all around. and the feel of a longtime local establishment. Find out more at CoopersTapRoom.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok at Cooper's Tap Room. I know they're going to have the UNI, Iowa State, and Iowa-Utah State games on Saturday. And another thing to know, Cooper's Tap Room now open at 11 a.m. each day for lunch, and they're also on DoorDash. So check them out, Cooper's Tap Room, bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls. We continue with the college football talk now as Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins us. Logan, as I said when we connected on the phone, we made it. We're here.
We're finally back to college football. It feels so nice. It's so nice to be. We had some week zero action last week, but there weren't a lot of great games last week. Like, I was doing a fantasy draft, and I was forced to sit down. And it turned out to be an all right game, but that UMass versus New Mexico State game does not hit the same as Florida versus Utah tonight. I'm so excited for this. And then we got all the Iowa teams playing Saturday. Like, we're back, baby.
I was just talking Iowa State, you and I, with Rob Gray, my colleague at the Gazette. So I'd like to start with what you're thinking on Iowa-Utah State. David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com was on the show earlier this week and just pointed out how bad of a team Utah State is. For whatever it's worth, with Cade McNamara obviously not being quite 100%, you just know that he'll be under the microscope. And then, of course, as always, Brian Ferentz's play calling is going to be under the microscope. What's your thoughts on Iowa-Utah State?
Yeah, they're not great. They're not great. Like, the only thing I took away from, like, hearing Kirk talk about is that they got a good punter. Like, that's the only thing I've really taken away. I know they got a really good receiver or speedy receiver in Terrell Vaughn, so he could cause some issues because he's also their returner. So if Iowa doesn't contain him, maybe they make the score. I don't want to sound, like, too overconfident or anything, but Iowa really shouldn't have an issue in this game. If the offense is, you know, just halfway decent, like at least better than what they looked like against Nevada in that weird rain lightning game last year.
Yeah,
that's all I'm really asking for. But this should be a relatively straightforward game, and I think it's a good game for Cade McNamara to kind of get his feet back underneath him so he's fully healthy. Hopefully, at least as close to fully healthy as he can be for the Iowa State game the week after.
When it comes to Iowa State, you and I, and talking with Rob Gray in that previous segment, we really dug in on the matchup between Theo Day and you and I offensive coordinator Bodie Reeder, and then Iowa State's secondary, which returns a lot, and then their outstanding defensive coordinator, John Haycock. That defense, despite Iowa State's, you know, one win in the Big 12, led that conference in four different categories a season ago, Logan. So that seems to be kind of the game within the game right there. What are you thinking, Iowa State, you and I? And I want a prediction from you.
The thing I'm number one intrigued about is see how you and I's new look O-line holds up against Iowa State. Obviously doesn't have Will McDonald anymore, but it's still a big-time college team. So you're going to have to see how they hold up against them so you can prepare for the rest of the season and make any changes you need before the game against Weber State. But that matchup with Theo Day, Lauren C. Schnee, and Purchase for Iowa State, TJ Tampa, Frailer, Cooper, like their secondary is crazy. So it's just an interesting battle of wits between them. And then we'll have to see how Iowa State's offense is, because we have no idea what their offense is even capable of, because we don't even know who their quarterback is yet. And at least I haven't seen it. Maybe they've announced and I haven't seen it yet. But I was looking at their depth chart when they dropped it the other day. There's like 18 or like 20 different ORs on this depth chart. It's like, do they know? Did they just like, like they procrastinated the entire offseason? He's like, oh, crap, we got a game on Saturday, guys. Okay, well, let's just go out. Everybody's going to play. So I just think with all the stuff we don't know about them offensively, if you and I's O-line can hold up, I think you and I, and we talked about this like a few months ago when we first were talking about the schedule, is that you and I could win this game. I think they will. I'll predict them to win this game. I think Theo Day can get you and I over the edge. Because I remember that game a couple of years ago when they lost 16-10. Will threw a couple of not so great interceptions in that game.
Yeah.
And Theo Day played later that season. You look back, like, man, if Theo Day played that game, which was a better Iowa State team, if Theo Day played then, does you and I win that game? Now we got a worse Iowa State team and a better you and I team. So I think I'm going to go you and I in this one.
All right, beyond the Hawkeyes, Cyclones, and Panthers, just give us two or three other games when folks are looking for something else to continue to whet their college football appetite this weekend. Other games you would point them in the direction of to make sure they're watching.
So it's fun because we got games pretty much the entire weekend and then on Monday too. So I got a game a day so everybody can look forward to those games. We got North Carolina, South Carolina on Saturday. Spencer Rattler versus Drake May. I think that'll be a very fun game. I'm excited. South Carolina finished the season strong. North Carolina didn't. And it's going to be just the Drake May show. North Carolina doesn't really have a lot going for him this season, except for Drake. Hopefully he can be that barrier for them. But Spencer Rattler looked really good at the end of last season. Steve, he can carry that over. And Sunday, we got LSU, Florida State.
Yeah.
Rematch of the block PAT game from last year. This one's in Florida, though, because the last time was in Georgia. I think it was at the Falcon Stadium. This one's down in Orlando. So maybe a little bit more of a home field advantage for Florida State, I guess. But Jordan Travis versus Jaden Daniels. And this is the year for Florida State. This is like they got the good receivers. They got good players defensively. They got Jordan Travis, the quarterback. If they're going to make some noise, this is it, especially starting off week one. But then Sunday, this game is going to be sweet. At least I'm looking forward to it. Duke Clemson. It's at Duke. Riley Leonard's one of my favorite quarterbacks in college football. This could be like a nice, hey, put me on national notice for Riley Leonard. In both a good way and a bad way, I guess, because Clemson's defense could really halter a lot of things Duke's going to try and do in that game. But I like Duke in this one. I think this will be a very fun one. I think the Duke crowd, I don't know what Duke's home crowds like generally look like in night games. They don't play a lot of night games. So I'm going to be intrigued to see how Clemson handles that with their new look team in that. Okay, Klubnik at quarterback. And then one bonus game, Rutgers Northwestern, CBS, 11 o'clock Sunday.
Rutgers Northwestern? You're just trolling, like, or you're incredibly high or drunk right now.
Northwestern, it's at 11 o'clock on Sunday because they knew everybody would watch that game only 11 o'clock Saturday, so they put it by itself.
That's enough out of you, okay? We're moving on. And by the way, I'm glad you brought up Clemson at Duke. If you would have ended there, you would have been in my good graces because I was going to point out that we have that game on the Fan Monday night that folks can listen to with pregame coverage beginning at 6:30. All right. Against my better judgment, I'll continue on with Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast for a few more minutes here. Picks of the weekend, Logan. I'll just spit out my three, and you can give your three. This is a collection mostly of intelligence from my most degenerate friends who have been waiting and waiting for this week to gamble on games, and they do an obscene amount of research that I'm just not going to do because I'm just buried in on Iowa State and UNI and Iowa and trying to make sure I can sound smart about those teams. But all that being said, I like Michigan to pound East Carolina and cover a massive 35.5-point spread. I like North Texas a lot at home, getting 7 points against a Cal team that is supposed to be miserable. And I like my guy, this won't surprise you, the Fighting Burt Bielemas of Illinois, -9.5 at home, cover that, win by 10 against Toledo.
I like those. I promise I won't bring up any ridiculous games for this segment. I promise.
If you do, I'll just hang up on you this time.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't want to push my boundaries here. But I am going to talk about two games that I mentioned before because I think they're going to be there. I think they're interesting games. I feel like they'd be the best bets, at least for me. But North Carolina, South Carolina, I'm going to go with South Carolina +2.5. Again, North Carolina didn't finish the season that strong. They do have, again, Drake May. But I like South Carolina this one. It's a neutral site, so maybe that plays a little bit of a factor here, but we're going to go with Rattler. We're going to go Clemson-Duke. Being at home on a Monday night, I am going to go Duke. They're 13.5-point dogs, so I'm going to go with the Duke Blue Devils on that one. And then I'm going to go a little bit bigger for my final game. I'm very intrigued to see how this offense looks with him at quarterback. I think he could be freaking supernova if it works. But Tennessee-Virginia. I don't have a lot of faith in Virginia this year. I think I predicted them to be the worst team in the ACC this year a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Tennessee over Virginia. It's in Knoxville, and Tennessee's a 28-point favorite. Ooh, so I'm going to go with the Vols in that one over Virginia.
All right, finally, real quick, don't have time for a lot of explanation, but just spit out your preseason Heisman top five or four.
So I think the first ones have no explanation needed, but Caleb Williams, obviously. And then Blake Corum from Michigan, Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State. They just named their quarterback the other day. And then we got Jordan Travis, who I brought up from Florida State. I think he could have a really nice year. And then Joe Milton, I think he could put up some insane – he's Tennessee's quarterback for those unaware. I think he could put up some ridiculous numbers. With Josh Heupel's offense, I think it could be really exciting to see for him.
Great stuff, Logan, besides that Northwestern Rutgers BS you brought up. But it's all good. It's all fun. have a good one. Enjoy the weekend, okay?
Yes, sir. You too.
All right. We will take this final time out, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, and then come back for a final time on a Football Thursday and wrap up the show and wrap up the week right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. We knew the Dolphins were interested in trading for Jonathan Taylor. Now we know the Packers were as well. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports Green Bay had trade talks with the Colts for the All-Pro back. No deal was reached, and Indianapolis placed Taylor on the physically unable to perform list due to an ankle injury, meaning he'll miss the first four games. Elsewhere, Joe Burrow is back. The Bengals quarterback practiced for the first time since injuring his calf last month. A good sign he'll be ready for week one. Also back, Zappe Auer in New England. One day after his release by the Patriots, quarterback Bailey Zappe signed to the team's practice squad. Some other moves, the Vikings signed former Dolphins running back Miles Gaskin. To make room, they waived former first-round pick receiver Jalen Reagor. Wideout Cole Beasley re-signed the Giants practice squad after his release Tuesday, while linebacker Jalen Smith did the same in New Orleans. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Ever since the departure of the four-time MVP, Aaron Rodgers, expectations around the Packers have hit a decade-long low. The uncertainty around the quarterbacking position has caused a lot of fans to doubt the Packers' plans this season. They're currently listed as the team with the longest odds to take home the NFC North, but the Pack may see things differently. The current roster has won three of the last four division titles. Outside of Rodgers, that core is still largely in place. It was also reported yesterday the team had trade talks surrounding disgruntled Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. We know that running backs have become devalued. So for Green Bay to target a running back demanding a contract extension with high injury risk may show the Packers aren't planning on a rebuild year. Plus, they already have Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon under contract. You don't go after a star running back unless you're vying to compete, right? I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. College football fans, DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season. New customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. The only thing that's a lock is the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code Patrick. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. That's code Patrick only on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Tonight on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football, we kick off the 2023 season with a cross-country showdown as Cam Rising and the 14th-ranked Utah Utes host Graham Mertz and the Florida Gators. Hi, it's Greg Daniels. Join Chad Brown and me for all the action as the hunt for the college football playoffs starts now. It's number 14 Utah hosting Florida. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
Free game begins at 6:30, kickoff at 7.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Cole Bear, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan. Yeah, I wanna take my horse.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time. Let's hear from Cedar Falls High School football coach Brad Remmert. Of course, the Tigers suffered a setback last weekend at Cedar Rapids Prairie in their season opener. And we asked Coach Remmert, is the pressure already on with this top 10 matchup in your home opener against Johnston Friday night?
This has got to be a learning experience for our kids. Sometimes when you do get beat, you got to look at yourself, and everybody's got to look in the mirror and figure out what do we got to do to get better. And there's several areas once you watch the film, and those are the things we're working on. So I don't know if it's so much pressure to win, but there is a sense of urgency to go out and play better and be more consistent and give a better effort in all phases.
Tigers are going to have their work cut out for them against the Dragons tomorrow night. You'll be able to hear that game, of course, on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. Dave Finnegan on the call. Pre-game begins around 6:45 tomorrow night, kickoff around 7:30. Good luck to the Tigers. Enjoy Utah, Florida coming up at 6:30, kickoff at 7. College football is here, everybody. Enjoy. Tune in to Maximum Mornings with Mark tomorrow. He'll get you set for high school football week 2 and college football week 1. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.